This is Totally Cool Tech, the show that brings you the hottest in cool technology. No matter if it's old school or new school, high tech or low tech, it's all still cool tech. Welcome, everybody. This is the Totally Cool Tech Podcast, edition number 526. The heat is on for Saturday, June 18th, 2011. I'm Norbert Davis, your host. Totally Cool Tech is a proud member of the techpodcasts.com network. If it's tech, it's here. And the blueberry.com podcast community. That's Blueberry, spelled B-L-U-B-R-R-Y. Go check out both of these sites for other great podcasts. Today, no sponsor, but I am powered by Mountain Dew Whiteout. Why? Because it's hot. It's getting really hot over here in the West Coast, finally. I know those of you on the East Coast, we were suffering last week or the week before with a lot of heat. And I really feel for you because I know exactly what that feels like. We get that all the time here on the West Coast. But you guys were really getting hammered, and we're finally starting to warm up over here on the West Coast. Now, I've been spending a lot of time in Southern Cal. You've been listening to me talk about that for months now, and I think I'm still going to be doing that. But when I was down there this previous part of the week, it was like 75 degrees down there during the day. And when I'd fly back, I had to fly back Tuesday, Wednesday, flew back Wednesday, came down there Tuesday, came back Wednesday. When I got back, it was 95 degrees up here in Sacramento. That was incredible considering when I left, it was like, 70, maybe 80. To go down there and find out that Southern Cal is actually a little bit cooler than Northern Cal. That's a little bit odd over here in the West Coast. So, but it was nice. The heat is starting to come up. I'm starting to do a lot of barbecuing. And so I had a lot of hot dogs and hamburgers this week grilled on the barbecue. It's been fun. So, all right. Well, enough about that. We're going to go ahead and get on to today's cool tech items. We have something for you. Now, we're all aware of RFID as theft deterrent. And, you see it in all the, when you buy a CD, if you're still buying CDs, you buy a DVD or, a lot of the products you buy have RFID tags in them. It's used for a couple of reasons, whether it's being used for theft deterrent. So you can tell, you go to walk out the doors there and you got something that's hasn't been de-energized. It will go off. It's also used for doing inventory. So, a lot of manufacturers are doing this for a lot of the retailers, and some of the retailers are actually the ones driving the use of this RFID. I believe Walmart is one of the largest ones that is really pushing the use of the RFID tags. Well, they're also being used in Hawaii on pool towels. Why? Because people are stealing them. It looks like over in Hawaii, and for the report I have, they don't want to mention the hotels that are doing this, but the rate of theft of pool towels from a Hawaii resort was around 4,000 towels a month. That's huge. I mean, you're basically replacing every towel. Now, I don't know if, everybody is doing this or if this is more than one resort. I would have to think it'd have to be more than one resort, or this is one really huge resort, and I'm not sure which one that would be. But I'm sure it's a chain, either a chain of resorts, or it's all the resorts, kind of combined. But at least this one, it looks like it is one resort, went ahead and put RFID tags in their towels. And they had to have mentioned it somehow. It doesn't say that they put up any signs or anything like that, but I'm sure they have. And they've got it down to 750 a month is their losses. So they've cut that down. Oh, wow. 85%. About 85% they've cut down their losses. That's pretty good. And they're also taking a look at how they're going to decline the... they're also trying to reduce the theft on sheets. So they're putting the RFID tags on the bed linen as well. That's pretty interesting. I wouldn't have thought people would be stealing bed sheets. Because if you've ever heard some of the reports about the cleanliness of hotels, motels, and all that kind of thing. You know, the sheets are one of the dirtiest things too, besides the bedspread. I wouldn't steal their sheets. No. The towels, okay. You know, but even they are fairly rough. That I've, you know, I've been traveling a lot, and the towels that I've come across are pretty rough. I mean, they get beat up a lot. I mean, they're always white towels. They're always getting bleached, so they're always pretty rough, you know. But that's the only way you can kind of get them clean. All right, next up. It looks like MIT, some researchers there, have claimed to have invented the first practical artificial leaf. The thing is about the size of a playing card, and when placed underwater in direct sunlight, it splits the oxygen and hydrogen. It splits the oxygen and hydrogen from the water. So it's basically taking the water that's around it and doing electrolysis to separate it. So it's kind of like photosynthesis, but it's electrolysis. And it splits it up to the hydrogen and the oxygen components, which then, you know, you capture those and you can go ahead and use that to put into fuel cells, you know, to produce electricity. Now, a single leaf already, their leaf is like 10 times more efficient at splitting the H2O or the water atom. And, it's 10 times more efficient than a real leaf. But, they said it should be able to provide enough daily power for one house in an undeveloping or in a developing world, to provide enough power for one house. That is actually pretty cool. I mean, now they're not running, you know, high-end gaming, you know, desktops with, you know, multiple monitors and, you know, the speakers and all that kind of stuff. You know, they don't have a modern U.S. type home. They're lucky to have maybe a couple light bulbs and maybe a radio, you know, something like that. That's what I'm figuring. So it's not like it's going to be able to, you know, to do that. Now, it probably would be able to, you know, power a U.S. treehouse, you know, a kid's treehouse. You know, he needs a little bit of power. Might be able to do something there. That'd be cool. But yeah, that's actually pretty cool. They're coming up with a fake leaf, you know, a bio leaf or artificial leaf. Pretty cool. Pretty cool. Now, you know, they don't say how long it's going to take for them to get this thing out there, but the one thing they are having troubles with is how they're capturing the oxygen and the hydrogen. And it looks like it utilizes an inexpensive materials such as silicon plus nickel and cobalt as their catalyst there. So once they get down, I guess, the capturing of the gases, they'll be able to make this thing a lot better. So they're coming up with a system, but they got part of it down. So that's going to be interesting. But, you know, you need water. And some places have right now too much water, and some places have not enough. So you have to have a place that has got some consistent water and consistent sun for this to really be good. Alrighty, what do we got up next? Over at Device, I found this article here on it. They call it the Creepy Turbine, Heart Turbine. And it works without giving you a pulse. Now, if you've ever seen any of the artificial hearts, like the Jarvik artificial heart, it works just like a normal human heart, or a normal heart of any kind, really. You know, it pulsates. Well, this doesn't. Because, you know, having a pulse is generally associated with not being dead. And that's only because, you know, the natural heart has a beat to it. And there's a new heart implant out there that uses a pair of turbines to eliminate both heartbeat and pulse while quietly and efficiently keeping you alive. Now, I guess researchers have found out over time that the only reason that the heart has a beat to it, well, besides that's how it actually pumps, but when it in that those small pauses in the heartbeats, that's when the heart itself actually takes in nourishment from the blood that it's pumping. So I thought that was a kind of a little cool side note here. So when they go to put this thing in, the turbine, you know, it actually makes a lot of sense because they've only got one simple moving part, and therefore it's very reliable. It's simple. It's small. That's one nice thing about it. It's small. The centrifugal turbine heart pump was developed by doctors at the Texas Heart Institute, and it's been tested for quite a while on animals, along with one successful human trial, with no ill effects. So that's pretty cool. Besides the fact that anyone using the implant doesn't have a pulse or a heartbeat, and their EKGs are always flatlining, that in itself might be a little bit of a problem if they have if they have any other problems, and people who don't know they have it try and help them out, and they check for a pulse and they don't find one, and they freak out and they start, you know, defibrillating. You're gonna have to have something on you that says, you know, do not defibrillate. I have a heart, you know, turbine. Probably tattoo that on your chest. Have the little defibrillator symbol with a do not symbol on top of that. Yeah, how would you do that? I mean, the little wrist bracelet, you know, medical alert bracelet would be one thing, but this would be another. Now, the FDA still has to approve this technology, and it's certainly going to be a while, but this will probably be something really, really cool that'll be coming up in the future. I mean, you become bionic, I guess, at that point. That would be a bionic heart, wouldn't it? It's not bio, but anyway, you know, it's an artificial heart, and it keeps you running and going. That's great. Now, I'm sure that they have to somehow attach, and it doesn't go into this, how they attach where the valves would be, because you got to have some sort of valve system. And they probably use like a pig's valve or something like that. I've heard that. I know they use pig's hearts quite a bit in replacement for transplants, and also they can use cow. Now, I don't know if they use the whole heart or just the valves or things like that, but pretty interesting. All right. This was actually pretty cool. Found this over at Gizmodo, and it's how a cell phone jammer device is actually helping in the war in Iraq and Afghanistan. Now, some of the IEDs, which are the improvised explosive devices, being used in the war against Americans and NATO forces are triggered by a cell phone. It used to be that, you know, you'd use bombers would use a device, you know, like an alarm clock, something like that. But now, instead of, you know, trying to get, you know, radio devices and all that kind of stuff, they use cell phones. Because number one, the cell phones are so cheap, so easy to get, that, you know, they're easy to use as a device. You call it and bam, it blows up. So, and it keeps a stray signal from setting it off, which is, you know, if you're the one setting it, you don't want a stray signal setting it off. But you have to be within range. You have to see what's going on to set this thing off, because you got to call the phone. Now, the U.S. government has spent about $17 billion last year buying about 50,000 jamming units with fantastic names like Warlock Green, Warlock Red, Warlock Duke, Acorn, and more. But the beginning of the war, there was a little bit of a cat and mouse game between radio frequency jammers and IEDs, and the jammers were far behind. They were too slow, they couldn't adapt well, and they could only offer protection of only a few yards. And even some of these cell phone jammers would lock onto each other's signal and cancel each other out. Now, during the war, the Navy sent to Iraq hundreds of electronic warfare specialists to bring the 14 kinds of cell phone jammers into some sort of harmony, because there's so many different protocol and so many different types of, you know, frequencies and methods of doing this. They had to go ahead and establish protocols that allowed one device to send its signal and then go silent for a few milliseconds, and the other one gadget could come on and broadcast, and then it dropped off. And this allowed the devices to be packaged into a single combination unit. And in turn, the intelligence specialists at the Combined Explosives Exploitation Cells got faster and faster at analyzing which frequencies the insurgents were using. That allowed the jammers to be updated more quickly so they could, you know, be used better, and they could counter emerging threats. So I guess new generations of jammers are being introduced that could cover a broad range of frequencies and perform specific set-on jamming, which means that rather than confuse a receiver with a modified version of its own signal, They have like a built-in, a series of built-in jamming responses designed to fool very specific devices. And the jammers are getting better. The insurgents in Iraq largely have abandoned the use of IEDs, and this has helped drop the deaths of from IEDs. Now, there's still a serious problem in the rest of the world, and so defense manufacturers are ramping up even newer technologies to combat them. So it's basically going to be a brand new cat and mouse game, and it's going to be really, really interesting. So now, you know, the amount of money that they spent, and I said it was, they spent $17 billion buying 50,000 jamming units. Now, you know, that's not, they didn't spend that much on the jamming units. That's how much was spent pretty much for working with 50,000 jamming units. It's like everything that's involved, you know, the personnel, the other equipment, you know, the testing and all that. So, you know, it's not going to be like, a couple hundred thousand per unit, but that's how much it was to test and develop and work on this. Cost a couple hundred thousand dollars per unit. So, our guys may not be able to make a phone call at certain times, but at least the bad guys can't do it either. So that's a good thing. All right, check this out. Looks like some researchers have developed a way to make bricks out of sand much, much easier and using bacteria. Now, you know, an adobe brick is made with mud and straw and baked in the sun. And, basically it's clay. You make a clay brick. And researchers have found a way to use sand and bacteria to make a brick. And supposedly this thing will also help the atmosphere by, you know, producing less CO2 for a manufacturer of bricks. Now, the bacterial cementing solution can be mixed with sand, which causes the sand to precipitate calcite, binding everything together into sandstone over a period of about 2 weeks. It's easy, it's cheap, and you don't need a kiln, which is why it doesn't have, you know, it has a better effect on the environment, because you don't have to fire up a kiln to bake these bricks. And as long as you're comfortable going to sleep at, you know, every night surrounded by a ton or two of microscopic dead bugs, then everything's cool, right? Well, actually, that's actually kind of cool. Supposedly, like, you know, these things are non-toxic and non-pathogenic, you know, bacteria that help break down the sand to make these bricks. But that would be cool. But, you know, how much does it cost and what does it take to, what's the CO2 output of producing this biological stuff? Does it make itself? I don't know. They don't go into that. But that may be kind of cool way to make some bricks. Probably not here in the U.S. or any of the industrial worlds, but maybe in third world countries, you know, if you got a lot of sand, this might be the way to do it. Okay, what else we got? Oh, yeah. Scammers are now turning to phones to gain PC access. This was actually kind of scary. Found this over at CNET. You know, you no longer have to go ahead and click on a link or be sent a virus over email to get compromised on your PC. You are going to let the criminals in yourself. Now, this is using basically social engineering, and I guess there's been a rash of this going on, where a criminal will go ahead and pretend to be a PC security expert from a legitimate company, and they call their intended victims, warning of a risky security threat and offering to run a free safe security checkup. And if the victim does take the bait, the scammers gain PC access to everything, and you know, they can capture, you know, your password, your financial information, personal information, put on key loggers, all that kind of stuff, you know, and then that just leads to not only data loss, financial loss, but identity theft as well. So I guess there's about 7,000 PC users that Microsoft pulled in the US and the UK and Canada, and looks like Ireland as well. 15% on average had received such a, you know, one of these phone calls. So 15% of those, 22% fell for the con. Now, in many cases, the criminals were granted remote access to the victim's PC, where they were able to steal, like I said, certain times of private information. In other cases, they got credit cards, other financial details, and they thought they were, the victims thought they were being helped. But, you know, they found out that they were really getting scammed. Now, these people, you know, lost money directly from their accounts. They were charged for software services and things like that. And vast amounts, large, huge amounts to run the security stuff. And, you know, that's almost technically that is a legitimate sale in a way. I mean, you know, they charge you buku bucks to do this thing that really isn't that hard to do for free. And, you know, if you're savvy, that's sad that, you know, they're calling now and people are doing this. You know, it's phone phishing, and people are falling for it. And it looks like the amount of money that was stolen per person ranged anywhere from $82 to $1,560. And while the cost of fixing the subsequent damage to the PC, they say it was $1,730 on average and as high as $4,800. Now, I really have to question those numbers, because if it costs you $4,800 to fix your PC, buy a new PC. Okay? I mean, really? You know, blow away the operating system and reload it. Now, if they're talking about data recovery for your stuff, okay, maybe I can see $500, maybe $1,000, depending on how bad it was and how bad you need it. But if you're spending $2,000 to recover data off of a drive, that drive may, that thing better have some super high importance to you. And you're going to somebody like Drive Savers or something like that. But that kind of money is way too much. Yeah, so, you know, you got to just be suspicious of unsolicited calls, you know, related to security problems. Never provide credit card details or other information to an unsolicited caller. And don't go to a website that they tell you to, okay? Someone calls up and says, hey, you know, we got this, you know, why don't you go ahead and run this software here. Now they're putting on malware and all that kind of stuff. Take down the caller's information. Pass it along to the authorities. If you think there's a scamming thing going on, let them do the work. Let the police do the work. Keep your Windows and other software, whether it's Mac or anything like that, up to date. You know, Macs are being hit a lot more and more now. So, you know, keep your antivirus software up to date. Keep yourself up to date. You know, browse the internet news. Don't just listen to, you know, podcasts like this or, you know, whatever. Keep up to date. Update your stuff. Update your Windows, your Mac, your antivirus, you know, any spyware, all that. Got to keep that up to date. I'm looking right now over at my Avast. I got a little button up here, a little icon that shows me how things are going, and it's big old green. It says it's secured, so I'm good. Thing updates every day at least, and it'll even tell me that it's updated, so that's pretty cool. And use strong passwords and change them regularly. Now, you know, don't use your simple, you know, Bob, you know, Dad, you know, or birth dates, phone numbers, things like that. You got to use something a little bit more complicated than that. You need to use capital letters, lowercase letters, symbols, numbers, you know, all this kind of stuff. I know it's hard sometimes to remember that, but you got to do something, you know, at least have one really, really, you know, tough password. And if you got to use it everywhere, that's what you got to use, but make it really, really, really tough. But remember, if that gets compromised and you've only got one password that you use everywhere, if somebody finds that out and they know where you go and all your other stuff, they could get in everywhere else. So you got to mix it up. You got to do different variations, maybe something like that, or, you know, just have like several different ones that you know that you can remember. But you got to change them up. So maybe you rotate them. Yeah, that'll work. All right. Okay, found this. This is really cool. It's called the Dry Case, and I guess these guys were out at CES this last year, which I missed, and I'm really, really bummed that I wasn't able to go this year. But I got an email from these guys and decided to check it out a little bit, and I asked, hey, you know, can you send me one of these things to look at? Because this looks really cool. What it is, it's a vacuum bag that is clear. Looks like clear vinyl plastic that allows you to use your touch screen devices, you know, your iPads, your iPods, your iPhones, even your droids, you know, in your smartphones, your touchscreen smartphones. And not only that, you can listen to your audio with this. This is awesome. It has a little headphone jack inside this pouch. There's a headphone jack connector, and you go ahead and connect that in there. You seal this thing up, and you lock the seal, and then you vacuum out the air. And it's see-through. It's ultra clear. And you can use your device in the water, underwater, at the beach, you know, at the pool, whatever. If you're going to be in some sort of, you know, possible high moisture or maybe high sand or something, high dust environment, this would be really, really cool to have. It's, you know, called a dry case, and they'll fit anything from, you know, a cell phone to an iPad, a Kindle, things like that, you know, your Zoom. And they're reasonably priced. The dry case for, you know, a phone or a camera, a music player, is running about, it's running $40. And the one for the iPad is running, let's see, it is running $60. Now, I have both an iTouch and an iPad. I have the iPad 1 and the iTouch version 1. And my Droid. I have tested all three items. That's right. They gave me two units. The iPad version and the iPod version, which, you know, work with any phone, really. And I tested them. I put them to the test. I had my boys take them in their little pool, put them underwater, and play with them. And they worked. One of my sons took his iPod and his iPod Touch that I gave him, put it in there, and was in the shower listening to it. And that was actually pretty cool. He enjoyed it. He think it was really cool. It worked really well. No problems. And they are ultra sweet. So if you're going to the pool and you want to, you know, have your iPhone or your iPod, or take your Kindle, but, you know, it's going to be, you know, sandy, or, you know, or you don't want it to get damaged because of sand or water or whatever, this is a really, really good device. Now, it comes, they come with a wrist strap, so you can go ahead and strap it on your wrist. And the iPad one came with the ability for, it looked like two wrist straps. I think it came with one wrist strap, but you can also get from these people, from Dry Case, a sports belt that'll go around. Now, the belt, you know, the armband and the belt, they're also like a flotation device. So if you drop this thing in the water, the pool, you know, it'll float because you vacuum out the air. There's no air in there to make it buoyant. So they came up with this way to keep them buoyant. And what's even more cool than that, they even have dry buds. They're waterproof headphones or earbuds. So that is ultra sweet. I love that. Now, they do have combo packs where you can get the earbuds, the belt, and the iPod case for like $75. Now, that's like $15 off of, you know, buying all three. Or you can just get the case and the earbuds for like $65. But this is really, really sweet. And they even have, I thought this was ultra cool, a dry case waterproof backpack for $80. It's actually pretty big. You got a lot of stuff you can hold on there. So you got to check this out. I love these. They're inexpensive. You know, it is summer. People are going to be going to the beaches, and we're going to be bringing our devices. And you don't want to drop that cell phone into the sand and ruin that, or the iPad or your Kindle or whatever, scratch it all up. Use one of these, people. Use something. You know, you got to have something. And this is just a really good way to do it. And plus, you can still listen to your audio on it. And yeah, the touchscreen, you know, it still works. Yeah, even underwater, my boys were playing with the iPad and the iTouch underwater. Or no, they're my Droid X. They're able to use them underwater. Really, really cool. Now, here's the even cooler thing. I'm going to be doing a video podcast on this here. And so you can see how it works. You know, you got to see it to believe it, right? Well, not only are you going to be able to see it work, I'm going to go ahead and give one of these away. It's going to be your choice. We'll do the giveaway here pretty soon. I have to, it'll be on the video, which will be upcoming. So this is going to be, this weekend is Father's Day weekend. It'll probably be next weekend that we'll go ahead and do this. So the weekend, before the 4th of July weekend. So in about 7 days or next weekend, you should see the video podcast out, and it'll have all the details on how to go ahead and get a dry case, and we'll definitely go over that. So for $40 and $60, that's a really good deal, I think, because these two devices work really, really well. All right, with that, I think we are going to be out. So that's it, everybody. If you have any questions, comments, just email me at tctpodcast@gmail.com. If you like the show, and I think you do, please recommend us to a friend. All the show notes and links and contact info are going to be over at the website at totallycooltech.com. Hey, if you know of anything, some cool tech that I haven't talked about or you think that we should talk about, please go ahead and send me an email on that, or send me an audio comment about it to tctpodcast@gmail.com. Let me know what you think. What do we need to be talking about? Is there something cool out there we should all be knowing about that you know about? All right. You can also get a hold of us at the podcast listener line, 540-999-TECH. Check us out on Twitter and Facebook at TCT Podcast. All right, everybody, that's it. I will see you next time.